And welcome to the midday. I'm Norman.
I'm Vicky.
There's Vicky. Oh, you're so present today. Vicky is going to be playing the part of a roving reporter, but right here in our studio, so it'll be very energy efficient.
And we have eight extra hands today, 16 strings, and some authentic tangueros. It's Quartet San Francisco. And here's what they sound like.
Bravo. Quartet San Francisco. And, all right, let's see. And the name of that one was?
Felicia. That was called Felicia by Enrique Saborido.
And the name and the title are almost as musical as the music itself. So, Quartet San Francisco, like any string quartet, and that's what you are, your two violins, viola, and cello, you have to have a niche.
Yes, in the case of Quartet San Francisco, our niche would be tangos, jazz, Latin, American music, and I think the thing about us is that we go after these styles and genres for their original authenticity. So we use a lot of techniques that are not traditional, part of the traditional classical technique. Cash, if you will. We have to create lots of rhythmic and percussive sounds and lots of strange. We have some effects that actually we'll talk about during the interview.
Special effects, good. I can't wait to get to some of those.
String quartet with special effects.
And your competition winners, I'm curious about a tango competition. How does that work? Who wants to address that?
There was a tango competition held at the Argentine Consulate in New York City in 2004. It was called the first international tango competition. And it was a three-day event, and groups and individuals submitted their materials, and then the finalists were chosen. And it was a three-day event for ensembles and for soloists or duos. And we submitted our stuff. And we were invited to the competition, and it was very nerve-wracking, but we heard a lot of terrific music, a lot of very wonderful musicians. And we ended up at the end of the competition with the special prize and the grand prize of the competition, which gave us a trip to Buenos Aires and a couple of concerts, and also a series of concerts in New York. And that's really helped develop our tango reputation, you know, as a tango string quartet. Although we do a lot of other styles, we started in tangos along with jazz, and we have some jazzier, jazz-inflected materials we're going to play for you today as well.
Well, we'll look forward to that. By the way, we have been hearing from Jeremy Cohen, other member who's one of the violinists. The other violinist next to him is Kaya Miki, and next to her is violist Emily Underdonk, and on the other side of her is cellist Joel Cohen. Cohen brothers?
Indeed.
Okay, well, that's... does that make it interesting at all when you have family members involved in an enterprise like this?
It brings whole new levels of interest into the dynamics of the group. And it's also fun. It's also a lot of fun. But it's, you know, string quartets are there's a certain amount of intensity in the work and preparation in order for four people to play as together as they can at any given moment. And so that involves a lot of, you know, technical work and personal dynamics. So when you add siblings into the mix, it just increases the color factor.
There's none of that. You're playing too loud. You're playing too loud.
Specifically, there's a lot of that, as a matter of fact. Although that's not an issue in the studio today. This is a nice, you know, a good playing room. But oftentimes in very live halls, we do talk about issues of balance all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're playing too loud has been mentioned in conversation.
All right. It's duly noted.
And I'm curious, people, how can they sit still when they hear this? Do you find people dance, or have you ever coordinated with choreography?
Jumping in the
aisles. In fact, we do tour with two tango dancers on some of our tours. You can see, you can actually see the tango dancers with us on our website, which is www.quartetsanfrancisco.com. And if you go to the press page, there's some QuickTime films with the group and with our live tango dancers, and lots of information about the group.
Speaking of information, we should mention, as we haven't yet, that tonight at 8, you'll be performing at Lutheran College in Milwaukee. That's part of the Guest Artist Series of Wisconsin. And then tomorrow night, that's March 31st, also at 8 in Baraboo at the historic Al Ringling Theater, which they call the prettiest playhouse in America. So two upcoming area concerts from Quartet San Francisco. What about these special effects?
Okay. Well, first of all, we have the title of our new album is called Latigo. And latigo in Spanish means whip. In English, it refers to a saddle strap. And this is also an effect in tango called latigo, which Kayo will demonstrate for you. And it's the sound that we use inside some of the tango pieces to emulate the sound of a whip. There's another sound that Emily will explain.
Oh, this sound is called a chicharra, which means, I believe, cricket in Spanish. And what I do to create this sound is I take the hair from my bow and I play on the string, but it, behind the bridge, close to my nose, actually, you could say, where you're not supposed to usually play. And this is what it sounds like.
Whoa. You know, if...
Is that harmful to your bow?
If Ferdy Groffé had known
sure
about that,
not.
He would have put it in the Grand Canyon Suite, wouldn't
That'd
he?
Have been right in the Grand Canyon Suite.
Right. So that's an effect that you'll hear, in fact, in the next piece that we're going to play. Listen for, we'll do a little bit of, I'll throw in a few latigos, and you'll hear throughout the group a little bit of this chicharra, which I think it's a slang term, actually, an Argentine slang term for a cricket, the sound that a cricket makes. And this is called Craudambo. It's an original composition by me, And it's a Latin also, but not specifically Argentine. We grew up in the Bay Area, in San Francisco Bay Area, and I was, of course, a big Carlos Santana fan. So this has surely Latin influences, and it's a mambo at its core. And I named it for my violin teacher, my old past violin teacher, who passed away a few years ago, named Ann Crowden. And so I combined Mambo and Ann Crowden and came up with the title Crowdambo.
Here we go. Quartet San Francisco. Crowdambo by Jeremy Cohen, who is one of the Quartet San Francisco, and we have all four of them here. What are you doing next Friday? This could be a regular gig for you.
We'll be
in the tradition of the big band remote for your dining and dancing pleasure.
That's right. Well, what happened to the days when the radio shows had a regular band? Where we'd love to be your band. We'll be back next Friday.
Okay. All right. We'll see you then. And I noticed Vicky took her shoes off a long time ago. I thought she was going to be going into some dance steps, but I guess that's just so she makes less noise roving around with a mic there.
Yes, well, we have we have in fact seen people break into dance instantaneously during Quartet San Francisco shows, and frankly, we like it. We like we love the tradition of chamber music, but we also like to sort of infuse it with contemporary sensibilities and also music that of our lifetimes, really, the music that we grew up listening to, because we find as chamber musicians that as much as we love the classics, and we do, we really connect. And we found that kids and youth connect to music that is, part of their lives, or music that they've experienced in their lifetimes. And we grew up in our home. We had the four B's. We had, Bach, Brahms, Beethoven, and Brubeck.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was growing up as a very young kid, when I was inconsolable, my mother would put on Time Out, Dave Brubeck's Time Out, and that would actually calm me down. And so I found that would be, a terrific piece to have, in fact, in the chamber music genre. And we can't go to stores and buy this kind of material. We had to create it internally in order to make it happen. And so in a way, we feel like we're sort of tugging the genre of chamber music along into a more contemporary vein, not to be mistaken with contemporary classical music,
sure,
which is of a whole different,
yes,
a whole different nature.
But let's face it, that kind of thing, one degree or another, has been going on since the beginning. So-called classical music has always drawn from other traditions and incorporated it and made it. I mean, the minuet, for example, started out as this rough wooden shoe kind of country dance before it went through Haydn and Mozart and became more of a silk slipper affair.
Yeah, and we want to introduce a lot of this material to the genre. I mean, a lot of other quartets are very interested in it. We're interested in what the other quartets are doing, and one can't stroll into a store, as I said before, and just find really cool and challenging and contemporary vein. There's lots of wonderful music, obviously. I don't mean to imply that there isn't, but where are you going to find a good version of Blue Rondo a la Turk or Pink Panther or any of
Let's see. You can find one on this CD that I have.
You do Pink Panther?
Yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Do.
Yes.
If you want to hear it, we'll be glad to play it for you.
All right.
And Blue Rondo, for that matter.
All right. Well, those are our next two pieces, then.
All right.
Why don't we start with which
Blue
one?
Rondo?
Blue Rondo a la Turk. That's the Dave Brubeck.
Sure. Okay. Let's do it. What the heck? As I said, we Dave Brubeck, the sound of Brubeck has been in our ears ever since, Time Out, his big smash record came out. And Dave was a terrific composer. He studied at Mills College in Oakland with Darius Milhaud, with Nadja Boulanger, who taught so many great...
There's a direct connection, sure.
Absolutely.
Between many jazz greats
and Piazzolla,
yeah. A lot of crossover there.
Which we're going to play today if there's time.
Yeah, if we have time, we'll play Libertango by Astor Piazzolla.
Oh, we have
another
time.
Barn burner.
We're not going anywhere.
All right, this is Blue Rondo a la Turk by Dave Brubeck, as interpreted by Quartet San Francisco. Thank you.
Turk of Dave Brubeck, and I thought I just heard, speaking of Peer Gynt, which we heard before 12, a little bit of that morning, but then I also thought I was hearing some Eleanor Rigby coming from the cello, so I'm not sure what all was in there.
Yeah, well, you know, we enjoy the, it feels like a great amount of, you know, freedom to be able to use all of our classical roots and all of our training and apply them to being as hip as we can be. And I think rule number one is to be having as much fun playing our instruments as we can, because after all, that's why we started playing music. And it's, you know, it's rewarding and a tough career, you know, and, yeah, and we might as well be maximizing our fun factor and playing stuff that we have a lot of, you know, fire and passion for. So it's a luxury in a way.
So just out of curiosity, that's a word Vicky's used. That's a good one. Just out of curiosity, you don't remember that, do you? Just out of curiosity, if there were a classical piece that you would play as the composer specified, what would be the most simpatico with Quartet San Francisco sound? What would be some of the things that would come to mind if you say, we'll play a straight classical piece?
Well, I mean, in our, we have a lot of rep. We do have a classical rep, although we don't often use it unless presenters specifically request that we do classical programming, because some presenters aren't quite ready for the full-on Quartet San Francisco experience. But, you know, we play Beethoven Opus 132. We play Dvorak American. We've played... We are playing Peter Schickele, which is, you know, a contemporary American wonderful
he's all
composer.
Over. Yeah, he's been in this very studio with us.
Yes,
very
and, you know, we're
guy.
Great fans of his, and he writes great serious stuff as well. And like that, we do all of those, but we, you know, there are so many wonderful quartets playing that rep and going after that repertoire that we feel the luxury to let,
sure.
you know, go after our own stuff. And also we were wondering if we were doing the right thing, you know, we were wondering if they were listening out there in the world to what we were doing. And so one day we woke up and found out that for our new CD, Latigo, that we had gotten two Grammy nominations.
Yeah, that's great.
For the album. And the one category was classical crossover.
Sure, yes. And, it's an up-and-comer, isn't it?
Yes. And the other category was best engineered classical. So we understand that the... at least from the record industry and a growing amount of presenters that Quartet San Francisco is maybe capturing some, you know, coming from my age, I use the word hip, but you know, for hip elements and in embracing the classics and also sort of charging them with more contemporary sensibilities. So.
We're back. And you never know when we'll be back or who will be saying what when we come back. Well, here we are. We're back with Quartet San Francisco. And as I said a minute ago, we'll have the quiz question along by and by, too.
But we're going to hear some Piazzolla next. And who knows what after that. But
you're preparing.
You're getting your music ready for Liber Tango, I believe. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about this?
This is perhaps one of Piazzolla's most well-known and loved tangos, Liber Tango. And he wrote, this particular piece is, I had first heard it on a Piazzolla album of his live in Vienna and was so moved. It was the first time I heard Piazzolla that I actually was driving in my car, got off the freeway, and went to the first record store I could find. It was the kind of music that really, you know, lit me up, and so the rest has been history. We have embraced tangos, and Astor Piazzolla is the most famous tango composer in the United States. Although Quartet San Francisco champions a lot of other tango composers, when you say tango in the States, everybody thinks Astor Piazzolla. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we hope that people will look beyond Piazzolla to the other classic and traditional tango composers.
It's quite a variety of them.
Yes. Yeah, it's very rich form. And some of the stuff that we played, like Felicia, the first piece, would be a piece that Piazzolla had listened to coming up and playing bandoneon in Buenos Aires. So he referenced all that stuff in this, but he also brought tango to a new level with his what's called Nuevo Tango, this instrumental form of tango. So the next piece is Liber Tango by Astor Piazzolla. Thank you.
Thank goodness Nadia Boulanger told him to write his own music. Wasn't that the story?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what I read, I think, in his biography was that he had gone to her in order to learn to write classical music. And she asked him to play for her. And he played for her. And her response to him was something like, I'm paraphrasing the book, but her response to him was, I'll teach you how to write. You write tangos because that's your thing. And she didn't want him. He wanted to break away from it, and she wanted him to expand his vocabulary and keep writing inside that form because it was, to her, I think it was precious because it had so much of the Argentine culture in it. She didn't want him to get away from that, and I think he was looking to get away. But she convinced him to keep tangos and write. And she would train him to orchestrate and write, you know, music.
Well, we're going all over Wisconsin with our midday today, as we usually do, and having some live music here. We're enjoying Quartet San Francisco as they're preparing to play a concert tonight in Milwaukee and tomorrow night in Baraboo at the Al Ringling Theater. So what's next?
Let's see, do we have the Panther in the Wings?
We could.
All right.
A personal favorite.
You know what? I thought the Lieber Tango almost ended the same way as that. It's got that kind of like, almost like the plug was pulled at the end.
Yeah.
But here we go with, it's Henry Mancini, right?
Yes, the great Henry Mancini.
Which we call in this business Enrico Mancini, but that's the kind of the Baroque version of that, just to make it all seem.
I think Henry would have appreciated that, as a matter of fact, being the good Italian and also a flute player, I think, and pianist.
So.
Great lover of music and a great mentor to many. You know, there was many scholarships, and I worked for 9 years at the Henry Mancini Institute in Los Angeles until its unfortunate closing this last year. But they fostered musical growth in all genres, equal opportunity, stylistic thing for, you know. Anyways, a great man and a wonderful, very pristine composer, as demonstrated by our next piece, The Pink Panther.
Thank you.
See what I mean by it sounding like the plug was pulled at the end?
And I love how the viola really had the wonderful, rich line there.
You know, the truth is that the very beginnings of Quartet San Francisco were in that piece, because Emily and I were working together in San Francisco Symphony Adventures in Music, which was their education program. And we wanted to find a piece that the kids would connect with. And Emily was demonstrating every day. We played for over 15,000 kids a year. And every day, Emily would demonstrate the viola and play the theme to the Pink Panther. And I would see every day the kids light up when they heard it. And it just seemed like, well, you know, instead of maybe an excerpt of a Mozart quartet, why don't we just do a version of the Pink Panther? And then it sort of took legs, you know, and then one piece led to another piece, led to another piece. And all of a sudden, Emily and I were playing at that time in the Adventures in Music program, and realizing that the kids were getting excited about chamber music. And that was a lot of the impetus for what eventually became Quartet San Francisco. And you can find us on the web at www.quartetsanfrancisco.com. You can spell it out.
That's a logical place.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you so much, all of you, for bringing your great music to us and to Wisconsin.
So we know you have to rush over to Milwaukee.
So we're going to, I guess, play some more.
We are indeed, yes, from one of the CDs.
Your CDs, your last CD, Latigo. It will be a piece by, let's see, I'm going to ask, well, who hasn't spoken who'd like to here? We're going to play track 2.
Okay, Milonguiando en el 40. So it means basically a milonga from the 40s. And this, for me, is one of my favorite ones, and demonstrates this latigo technique with that we explained a little earlier. This, so I hope you enjoy.
Thank you very much.